in that position before. Yeah, something is, we're a little glitchy on this end, but we can see you, so that's good. He what?
Something is extremely amiss
on our end, but we can see you and we can hear you and everything's good and great, so.
Yay.
Oh, and we're recording. Yay! Welcome to Ghosts and Hoes, the Patreon edition. Today, we have a very, very special guest on the screen, our dear friend, Seth Michael. Hey, Seth.
Hey, and Alice.
Oh, hey, Alice. Oh, sweet puppy. Is Iris there, too?
No.
Oh no. Well, spirit wise, you don't know she passed away.
Shit! I didn't. I am so sorry.
That's okay. She was only one. It was a freak thing.
Oh no.
We don't know why she died. I came home from work and I found her. But now we have two new Sphinx cats.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
What are their names?
Yoda and Lily.
Aww.
They are very cute.
Are they very cute?
Yes.
Shows you how often I'm on the Facebook. Good Lord. I didn't know. I'm sorry, honey. That's horrible.
Oh, Iris. That's okay.
But Alice sure is cute, too.
Thank you very much.
Yes, I'll bet she's loving.
So this is a good lead way into spirits.
Right?
I think I had a visitation the very next day. The very next morning. Right when I was in awake and a sleep state, I saw her clearly walking on the bed. And I don't know if my thought was, oh, good, they didn't put you in the freezer, or how did you get out of the freezer? But then it like, I'm like, oh, my God, you're not dead. It's the whole thing.
Right.
And then bam, then my whole waking mind woke up all the way.
Yeah.
So in our community, they call that a visitation.
Yes. So Z and I have known Seth for a very, very long time. We met at one of the OG Oregon Ghost Conferences many, many years ago.
Many.
The first one.
Yeah, it was the first one. It was the very first one when it was still in the little community center there. And we have all been very good friends since. We've done so many investigations together and conferences and tours and all kinds of things. So, Seth, why don't you let our listeners know a little bit about yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't even know where to begin. there's so much that happened.
There's so much that happened. So Seth founded a local group, paranormal investigation team called White Light Paranormal. So why don't we start there?
Okay. Oh, actually, I know where we could start a little bit before that. I'm from 2,000 miles away, but I met my, well, now fiance, Jill, on the internet. It wasn't a dating site. It was just friends. And then I ended up moving here.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a haunting issue. And even before I visited, I was getting a I guess you could say like an inner picture or a mind's eye view of the closet.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw in my mind's eye a portal, like an opening, like things were coming through. And I felt Ouija board. And she goes, oh, no, I don't think anybody did a Ouija board. And I described the closet and it turned out to be a bedroom upstairs near to her bedroom that kids were staying in periodically, teenagers, her daughters and anyway, so it finally came out that there was two kids that were drinking did the Ouija board in the closet and just so happened to possibly open a doorway. And there was some lot of things going on. Like mostly it was I just don't want to say mostly was the inner haunting where you have like you feel like somebody's kind of getting into your head.
Yeah.
Feel like a pressure. Also there was scratching marbles and that's a phenomenon, different cultures too, where there'd be no upstairs, but marbles would be dropping and rolling. So when we were downstairs from that bedroom, there were marbles and we didn't find any marbles.
So no, and that is, you're right, that is a very common phenomena in haunted buildings. It's the sound of marbles being dropped onto a hardwood floor and rolling around. We heard that at the Tokeland Hotel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've heard it, you know, other places. I heard it when we investigated that cabin up on Mount Hood.
I was not there, but yes.
Yes, and we left the EVP going overnight, and that's exactly the sound. It's like someone's dropping a glass marble onto a hardwood floor, and then they're rolling around.
I actually found a physical marble in my office, not terribly long ago.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
It was the weirdest thing. I have not owned marbles in decades, so I truly have no idea where it came from. It just was there.
Yeah.
It was very weird.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, definitely familiar with that sound. That's that is a common thing that, you know, people who investigate come across.
Yeah.
Then when I came to visit, I got not drunk, but I had a few drinks somewhere, and then we came back. And then I remember, too, if I'm not protected, I could become very vulnerable.
Yes.
Especially back then, I was even more sensitive than I am these days. So, it was hard. I could feel them just trying to manipulate thoughts, or that was my experience. So, anyway, it took us a little while to get it out. We believe there were three of them. We had pictures of like a smiley face. Now, not a lot of people are into orbs, but this was weird. It was huge, and it was a smiley face. Who knows? You know, it's just compelling. You can't say for sure. And then I saw a kid. I remember that in my mind's eye. And he said he was in third grade, and he was missing. And he gave us a phone number, so we called the phone number.
Oh, wow.
And somebody has said they had just got that new phone number. They don't know who had it before.
Oh, interesting. Oh,
wow. And then Jill said, well, if you're a kid, you can come out. Well, we went to his store, and then when I was at the store, I'm like, oh, crap, that wasn't a kid. Like, it didn't occur to me until later. It just hit me and she invited him out. And so from then, it wasn't just in that room. And I forgot to mention some of the other activity. Whoever slept in there felt like committing suicide. Kids had punched holes in the walls from anger. Just in that room, pretty much. The radio went on. I experienced hearing something like that, too, and it wasn't plugged in.
Oh.
I was downstairs making coffee, and I said something to him, and I hear, ha, ha, ha. Like it was coming over the radio.
No, thank you.
I rolled my eyes like, oh boy, here we go. So it was pretty hardcore. They were bugging the dogs. The dogs would just jump, you know, out of nowhere, just start running away and from whatever. So we did calm it all down. Just we used a lot of prayer and intent and things like that.
Yeah.
So.
Nice. And then after you moved, when did you guys start the group?
Oh, yeah. When all that was done, Jill said, we should put a paranormal team together and we can help people. And at first I was like, hell no. that was hardcore.
That's a lot of responsibility you're throwing at me.
From my experience and my perception, there are some people that can just, Like Danielle, I think you're one of those people. I know Kristen, who I work with, Jill's pretty much like that. You snap your fingers and they'll be like, okay, I'm out of here. But with me and Z, I have a feeling like you're like me too. Like we're more heart. We're just all heart. And then they can kind of mess with us a little bit more. And it seems to take a little longer. That's just my perception and experience, but it's good to have somebody like Aurora on our team. She's like that, you know. It's a different kind of an energy, and they back off a little bit quicker. I can get it done, but I have to work really hard. And I'm putting, you know, things at risk of like them trying to jump in or manipulate me or through an empathic kind of way. And I just want to say to everybody, just, well, everybody knows, you know, listening to this, this is all our point of views.
Right.
Own, you know, just experiences. And this is not facts, you know, per se. I mean, it's my fact. You know what?
It's your truth. Absolutely. It's not, and it's these are your experiences.
Your miles may vary.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and you being.
Because I'm respectful for skeptics. I'm respectful for the skeptics.
Absolutely. You know,
yeah.
But I think that you being an empath also makes you very susceptible to that type of attachment or attempted attachment, because I think that because you can feel so much in that way that it draws them to you
even more. Exactly. So, a good way to picture it is like people know where the solar plexus is, I'm sure, around your gut area. And that's where this, my thinking is that the empath, that's where we get a lot of our stuff. A lot of empaths have stomach issues.
Right.
And tightening of stomach when something, you know, not good is happening.
Well, that would explain the dry heaving I get.
Yeah.
and the heart chakra. So it's those two, the vulnerable spots. And then some people are just more actively in their intuition, which is more at the top of the head, the crown chakra. And so it doesn't go through all that other stuff. Right. It's just boom. You know, rather than the feelings and the other things that are involved. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's more of a trap door with the intuit when the person who's more highly intuitive.
Right. Right.
It's just like.
Right. So then you guys formed your team. How long has the team White Light Paranormal been a group together?
11 years.
Holy, wow. 11 years.
Yeah, we haven't been fully active during the, you know, the pandemic.
The Great Plague of 2020?
Yeah.
2020 to 2021. The Great Plague of 2020 to 2022.
And then now 22, everybody's kind of all stunned to be out places and things have changed and people are ruder and it's all different.
Yeah, it's all a little different. It is definitely all a little different.
Yeah.
But so there's that. And now, we've had our friend Sarah Martucci on the show several times, and we
I love her.
I know, isn't she great? And
she is.
We spoke with her about what it's like growing up psychic or as a medium, and you know, people, especially in our age range, you know, you and I are definitely we're Gen X all the way. We're a little bit older, but even then, it's like. Growing up in those days with people not understanding or having a full grasp of what it would be like to have a psychic child or raise a psychic child, whereas today I think people are more open to it and aware of it, and they try to help nurture and encourage their children's abilities. But back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, growing up, that wasn't a thing. And I know that Sarah, growing up going to Catholic school, had a very, very hard time because no one knew what was going on. People kept telling her she was making things up. What was it like growing up for you as a psychic medium kid?
Well, I had a lot of they would really, I had a lot of visitors, I think, and imaginary friends.
Right.
So we didn't really go to, oh, this is a ghost and you're seeing ghosts. It's more like, wow, you have such a creative imagination. So it was a little bit nurtured that way because I wasn't shut down completely.
Right.
And as I got older, it was more in the emotions. I would feel spirits. But I wouldn't know who was me, who was somebody in the room, or who was spirit somebody in the room.
Right, to differentiate.
It was all just, and I kept having to go to therapy, therapists when I was young, and hospital stays, and just because my emotions weren't everywhere, all over the board. Mm-hmm. I had no understanding of what was going on. And if I was explained more, I mean, I had finally had classes in my 40s. And right. I finally learned how to, regulate emotions more. And that automatically helped, all those classes I took automatically helped me understand, oh, this isn't me. This is somebody else.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I could learn to block it more and put it in perspective. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty much a mess. And then when I was in my early 20s, a friend said, you know, you're a natural medium, right? And I had no idea what that was.
Yeah.
And then we ended up being roommates, and she had a portal in the middle of her bedroom and spirits were shooting out. And I could hear them, so I would tell her what they were saying. She could feel them and see them. And I had all of them going on. Like, I could see them, feel it. Just in my experience, you know, we would describe them at the same time. And mm-hmm. and anyway, she would talk to them about letting go or whatever it was. And then they would go through sort of a white light experience sort of thing, which I feel it's really... Not my guides had told me it's not really a light, it's a vibration, mm-hmm. and it creates a light, and it's more of a sound. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just know that the room felt a ton better whenever it happened. Mm-hmm. Like they had let go of heavy weights they were holding on to.
Yeah.
And that's what spiritualists refer to as rescue mediums.
Okay.
And that's what, then I've always just kind of continued on with that. Being an empath, I believe I was able to connect with spirits' emotions.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that was more my niche rather than the heavy duty, dark, negative stuff. It was more like you get some heavy duty, dark stuff when you come to spirits, you know, like people that were alcoholics and they were into a lot of addictions. So in my experience, I'd have to kind of peel away that part that isn't them, uh-huh. that they may have an attachment, and then get to the root of why they started all that stuff to begin with. It usually takes them back to childhood, and then they can start to just accept that, okay, I can move on from here. I don't have to hold on to that. I'm not bipolar anymore. I don't have an addiction anymore. That was my experience then. And then it changes. The room shifts in my experience. Other people's experiences too.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Very interesting. And so...
That's our thing with our team.
With white
Not
light,
a lot
yeah.
of teams do that. Yeah.
yeah.
We have an investigation side with the equipment and all that. And then we have the mediums that connect yeah. to the spirits and attempt to help them. And we actually give them the option. It's not you have to go unless they're really
right.
Negative. And then that's when, you know, I have people that are more comfortable with dealing with that stuff. Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I've always respected about white light paranormal is that, you know, with the when Ghost Adventures and what's the Ghost Hunters started the whole, you know, paranormal team craze several years ago, 10 plus years ago, so many people just wanted to go out and hunt. I want to hunt ghosts. I'm a ghost hunter. I hunt ghosts. But there's so much more to this. These are entities. These are spirits. These are beings that at one point, most of them have been human, and there is you need to treat them as such. And there's so much more to this. There are people that are in limbo. There are people that are what we call earthbound, and they either don't know they're dead, or they're really struggling with crossing over for whatever reason. And so many of these teams just want to go out and say, yep, okay, there's ghosts. We got them on the EVP. See, it's real. Yeah, but there's more to it.
A lot of people move to the demon thing now.
Oh, Jesus, I know.
Right away.
Yeah.
And we have a documentary, too, we could talk about a little bit later.
Oh,
one of
will.
The things I'm talking about is like, yes, grandma's please. Probably on this other side going, and you're calling me a demon or something like that. Like, it might be grandma just trying to say, you know, knock your shit off. Like, there was a restaurant once, the health inspector was a friend, and she said, oh my God, this restaurant's going crazy. All of a sudden, things are flying, or, you know, moving, and things are, there's different voice. There's a voice, and just, oh, I can't remember everything, but it was scaring the heck out of the people that worked there. Mm-hmm. And I kept getting something about a lady that owned it and who had passed away. And they said, and she did confirm, I think it was a grandma of some of them that did own it. And she was trying to tell them to stop the shit and start working, like start doing what you're supposed to do. Do what I taught you to do. Stop doing your own damn thing. Good. And as soon as she relayed the message, and apparently as soon as they started, you know, buckling up and doing what they're supposed to do, everything stopped.
Yeah. See, there you go. But so rescue mediums. I mean, that's a thing. There are teams like White Light Paranormal that aren't in it just to get the evidence and scare the shit out of people and say you've got some demon in your house and you have to pay us and we'll make it leave.
$3,000,
right?
Oh yes, and we all three of us, we have come across that, and
oh yeah,
several times, unfortunately. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
that people are charging that much and they don't even really remove anything.
Yeah, in fact, they probably make it worse.
Yeah, so,
or at least they could.
Yeah. But so now let's get to the documentary.
Yes, please.
So there is a documentary about Seth's life, and it's called All Around Us. And when did that come out? That was 2019? Was it finished?
I think so.
Yeah, I think
the premiere was in 2019, I believe.
Yeah, we premiered it at the Oregon Ghost Conference.
Mm-hmm.
A theater over there, and that Portlandia hearse, they picked Joe and I out and they drove us to the theater in the hearse.
So how did
so cool.
How did the idea of the documentary come about? How did that whole thing start?
So just to backtrack a little bit, after I found out I was possibly a medium, I started working on a psychic hotline, psychic friends.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Dionne Warwick, psychic friends.
Yes.
They tested me 3 times.
Yeah.
So I would assume back then, you know, they were trying to get real people, but, you know, people that really had the abilities. And then I worked on it, but she fired me because, or whoever did, because I wouldn't keep them on the phone as long as they wanted me to. They ask a question, I answer the question, bye-bye. They're like, make something up. Well, I'm not going to make something up. Kidding me?
No, thank you. It's not my style.
No, that's not. No, I wanted to practice. You know, I wanted to really see if there's something to that. Am I really having abilities? Mm-hmm. It was like really kind of testing myself on everything. Mm-hmm. And I was getting great reviews other than that. And so then Mother Love took me up. So I went on her line. And then there's the scene in the movie where we talk about this guy that showed up that had committed suicide, and his wife was on the line. And she wanted to test me right away. She goes, I need to know you're real. And not all psychics are mediums. So it's interesting how she got me. And because I was doing most of psychic stuff at the time, you know, like future or things about, relationships,
love,
careers, stuff like that. And then this guy shows up with his hand in his pocket and doing and wearing these things. And she was like, that sounds like my husband. How many kids do I have? And I was getting everything that was apparently right on. And he wanted to apologize so bad. Like, that was the longest phone call. And I kept telling her, you know, they're charging like $4.99 a minute. We get like 10 cents a minute.
Yeah.
You know, but they charge a lot. And she said, it's okay. This is a very important call. And then it just ended after like an hour.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So then I went, I stopped the hotline for a while, but I did things for friends or friends of friends, you know, just kind of went places and bars every once in a while, friends bar. I did it, you know, back room with runes and Then years. So when I met Jill, I was into it like 25 years of just doing the side stuff and not charging really, you know, people donate food or whatever, but
yeah.
But then when I met Jill, she said, "Hey, I have a salon. You could work in my salon. I have a room." And people just started coming in left and right.
Yep.
And we had the paper did an article that the Downtown Association, I'll just say of Camas, is really open. You know, they were so open to me. Awesome people. So we had I just did, you know, tons of reading. So I did that full time for 10 years. And in the middle of that, I think like 3 or 4 years on, my guides were, I believe my guides were saying, "Hey, time to do group readings where I go into a house and I do it for more people." I dragged my feet. And then finally I did. And then it turns out somebody was trying to get a theater. And one of the messages that came through was how to get the theater. Like, don't talk to this person, talk to this person. And they got it. And then they asked me to come. So that led into a gallery meeting, which is like up to 100 something.
Yep, we were there.
You've
been there multiple times.
It's so awesome. And I've always gotten animals come through too. So
I will never forget that night.
Radar
came
me
through.
Me neither.
Yeah,
and that was a good message to like remember me alive. Like it was something like that, the whole gist of it. But that helps with animals too. Like when, because I keep picturing Iris's body dead, my mind just goes to that because it's a trauma. And she says, she's like, "But I'm not there anymore. I'm not like that anymore. I'm not. So it's just, it's good that we get to connect with them, and they're so pure. They just want the best for us. And almost always I've heard them say, "Well, don't close your heart. If something comes up, then go for another, you know, take on another animal, take on another dog or a cat." And that's what Z did too, opened her heart. And I was able to do that with the cats.
Exactly.
Because somebody saw the post about Iris dying and said, "We want to donate a sphinx." And those are usually 1,000 to 3,000. I will donate the sphinx. And I said, "Well, I'm going to get him a sibling because I noticed Iris, you know, could have probably used one, would have calmed her down maybe a little bit." She was nuts. But anyway, well, we actually have his sister, and we didn't really want to separate them. And so they gave us a discount on the girl.
Perfect.
And Lily does a lot of what Iris used to do, lay on me a certain way, and she kind of looks like her. And she's definitely not her, different personality, but it does help to heal the heart. Because otherwise our love just stays there. We have this love, and it's just stagnant.
Yeah, it's got nowhere to go.
But nope, I don't want to replace my dog or cat. I don't want it, but it's an honor to them.
Yeah.
And it's not, like a tribute.
Yeah, it's not a replacement.
Right.
You could never. I like to say that Radar sent me Hawkeye, and then he sent me Trapper as an apology.
That's hilarious.
Because
I love it.
Oh boy. Oh bless. The first year of his life, I was like, "Oh, mistakes have been made." He was just the complete opposite of Radar. And I took him to puppy school at PetSmart and was talking about how we had difficulties at home, and I kept mentioning Radar, and the gal that was doing the training was like, "Well, you can't compare him to his brother because they're obviously different dogs." I'm like, "That's a very good point. Thank you for reminding me, because he is clearly a demon. And he is my problem child." And I also think that it didn't help that he definitely takes after the character he's named. for. He is very much opinionated and will tell you whether you want to know it or not.
Oh, that's awesome.
But then, yeah, he got a little bit older, maybe a year or just a little bit less, I went to England for a couple weeks, and he was a maniac, and so I knew that he was going to need some kind of playmate at home. Radar did not. He did not care. He just wanted to be with me all the time, and he'd play with other dogs occasionally, like when we went to the park, but he really just preferred to, like, sniff every blade of grass at the park than interact with other dogs. So,
oh, that's funny.
Getting a dog that, like, I got him as an emotional support animal, and then he was just as anxious as I was.
Yeah.
So that was a mess.
He didn't get him a support animal.
Or worse. And so I was like, okay, when I get back from England, I'm going to...
We both need one now.
Exactly. I'm like, Hawkeye needs his own emotional support animal. So when I get back from England, I'm going to look, and I'm going to adopt somebody. I'm going to find a dog. I'm going to adopt it. I was checking Craigslist before I went on my trip, and I just typed in German Shepherds because ever since Radar, they have been my favorite dog. I have experience. And so I'm like, okay. And there was a German Shepherd lab mix that popped up on Craigslist. And I was like, well, I don't know. But I looked at the picture and it was Trapper. And he's laying on a deck.
That's so cute.
And he's got his little eyebrows raised and he's got those gold eyes.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my God. Okay. If he is still on Craigslist when I get back from my trip, I'm going to message this lady. And, you know, not expecting that because it was going to be like almost a month between the time I saw that ad and the time I got back from my trip. So I got home, I checked Craigslist and he was still there. I'm like, this is insane. So I messaged the lady and she's like, well, somebody is coming to look at him this week. But if anything falls through, I'll send you an email and let you know and we can set something up. I was like, okay, not expect. I'm like, okay, somebody's getting him and it's not going
to
be me.
You've been to a shelter before. You know how.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was like, and especially with his face, I could tell that he was a sweet, sweet boy. And I'm like, oh, he's going to be gone. But he was there when I got back. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe. And then she was like, well, somebody's coming. Yeah, okay, fine. And then she emailed me a couple days later and said that the people just hadn't shown up. And so if I wanted to come out with Hawkeye to their house and see if the boys got along, see how I felt about him, then we could just, like, you know, see how it went. I was not expecting to, like, take him home that night. But I had won a prize at work that day of $250. And so that afternoon, I went with Hawkeye out to the middle of East Jesus, Oregon City somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we hung out for, like, I talked to the owners for, like, probably close to 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
While they played. And at the end, they're like, so what do you think? And I was like, how much is his adoption fee? Here is the money I just got earlier today. And so that I took him home that night.
Yeah.
And I was like, I feel like you had a hand in this, Radar, young man. Because he was like the perfect dog. And I have obviously a MASH theme with all of my dog's names. And I knew I was going to change his name from whatever dog I ended up getting, it was going to have to be renamed. But Trapper, when I went to pick him up, they had been calling him Archer.
Nice.
And I'm like, that's so close.
Wow. Yeah.
It's not even any. He, when I took him home that night, he was like running around the house playing. And I said Archer, and he didn't pay any attention. He just kept being a goob. And so I was like, Trapper. And he turns. And I'm like, yeah, that's it. There we go. And they've been like, he and Hawkeye have maybe, well, Hawkeye has been a dick to Trapper. Maybe three times in the almost 6 years I've had Trapper. And that was just because sometimes he gets in a mood and he's like, do not perceive me. Keep away from me. But they got along like right off the bat. And I was like, I definitely feel like your giant brother in the sky has had something to do with this, because the way it all worked out was just a little too perfect.
Right.
But yeah,
yep.
It was.
That's a very good example. There's a lot of stories like that where one seems to just kind of lead us to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
To the one we're supposed to be with.
Right. I know. And I've had a lot of people, just like I've seen people post online talk about a pet that's passed. And you just. It sucks. It sucks bad.
And, oh, God.
And it, like, it eventually stops sucking a little bit less over time, but it never, ever stops. And so having this these absolute goons in my house, and I've noticed that Trapper over the years will have, he's like started doing little things that Radar used to do, which is very funny because they weren't obviously raised together. But a game I used to play with Radar just to annoy him because, you know, he's like my dog son. And that's what mothers do to their children.
It's true.
Little things to annoy them. The Swiffer, yes, I would get the Swiffer. Mm-hmm. And I would sing. He hated the Swiffer. He would collect all of his babies, like all of his toys, all around the house and put them on his bed and then lay down on his toys to keep them safe from the Swiffer.
Gosh.
But another game we played, he would be in my bed. And I would tell him to, I'm like, come here, let me give you a kiss. Let me kiss your face. And he would put his paw over his face and then make exaggerated. He'd be like, rom, rom, rom. Like, no, mom, don't kiss me. I'm like, I'm going to do it. And then, like, kind of like an eye roll kind of situation. And Trapper started doing that. Like, that's maybe about a year after I brought him home.
Goddamn adorable.
It is really
cute. That is pretty
cute. It is really cute. Really, and he also has one particular stuffed animal that he hasn't destroyed, and he's had it for like I think almost 3 years now. It's just a stuffed bone. Like, it looks like a cartoon bone, and he carries it around with him everywhere. And Radar used to do that. He had certain toys that he wouldn't eat right away. Like, when he was a little tiny puppy, he had a stuffed lobster that he carried around. It's very cute. I'm like, when did you start doing that?
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's fun to see. And I was always just tell people to ask. They're like, well, do you think that they come back and visit? I'm like, I can tell you for sure. Yes, absolutely they do.
Yes.
Even years and years on, they will. If they're not with you all day, every day, they will absolutely pop in. To visit.
I used to see and hear Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
But not for a very, very long time.
Yeah. Sometimes, like, because I take my dogs to daycare, and sometimes I'll take them, like, if I have a very long day, I'll take them so they can spend the night. And aside from my dogs, I live alone. And every once in a while, when I'm by myself and the boys are gone, I can hear a dog in the house. And I'm like, okay, well, I know who that is.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
But I really don't think he's ever super far from me anyway.
No.
Even if he goes somewhere to visit something else, he's usually
around. Yeah. So the gallery readings.
And, yeah, you know, squirrels, birds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A bear. Everything came through that back then. But, yeah, so Tristan, this guy that was in the audience, he was actually part of the theater company. He asked to do a documentary to show that his parents that this isn't evil because his grandfather came through.
Oh, okay.
So that's how it started. And then I said, well, actually, mind if my friends are in it too? So we have quite a few people in it. Aurora, a lot of the people on the team, Kristen.
Mm-hmm. Lots of people. So Tristan's parents weren't into the paranormal. They thought it was evil or bad.
Yeah. Okay. According to their religion.
Okay.
Beliefs. Yeah. Which, their religious, you know, beliefs.
A lot of people then that's not uncommon.
No, it's not. But he wanted to show them different.
Yeah.
And
especially since his grandfather came through, I'm sure that was a very emotional experience for him.
Yes, definitely.
So how long did the documentary take to film? I know it was a while.
I think it was 2 or 3 years. It was on and off. We had a lot of things going on in our lives too, and we We didn't really have a clear direction. Sometimes, I mean, we did, but sometimes we'd veer off, but we were trying to stick to certain topics.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We call them resolve mediums now rather than rescue mediums.
Mm-hmm.
So resolving, we would have, you know, talk about that and empaths and kids seeing spirits and,
mm-hmm.
Then we were going to premiere. Well, he hired a editor, mm-hmm. but the editor, when we saw what they had, didn't match the vision at all.
Mm.
And we only had so long to get it done.
Right.
So somebody from the conference, they agreed to edit it. And I think they did a great job. I was hoping for one more edit.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a couple of things that I would, you know, kind of change, like a couple of things repeat itself and maybe just, you know, do a couple of tweaks, but I think it was so hard on them to do it so fast. They didn't want anything to do with it anymore. So we have what we have, which I think is a pretty good product.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, it does. Yeah. It teaches a lot.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Is there anywhere that people can find it online now, or is it?
Yeah. Yes. You can stream it. You just have to, I think it's $15.
Okay.
And you go on allaroundusfilm.com. And or you can get the DVD version, which has some bonus.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, because I knew it was definitely a few years mm-hmm. of cameras following you around on investigations and such. So in fact, there when we investigated the Butterworth building in Seattle, we had Randy. Filming the whole thing as well.
Yeah, so. We didn't get the. I never got to see any of the footage. I'm not sure what happened to it.
I don't like sharing the name of your former cameraman.
it was his cameraman.
That bothers me.
There can be only one.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what. I don't know if it was either he couldn't find it or if it was like in a different shot in a different way where they couldn't use it. But yeah, I never got to see him.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing too. It's like when you follow someone around for several years, there's only so much footage that you can put into a 1 to 2 hour film.
Right. You know? And we didn't really do the much following. It was more like interviews.
Interviews, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like we would talk to a therapist
mm-hmm.
about abilities versus crazy, you know.
Exactly.
So, are the voices I'm hearing so from we, you the know, dead
so we meet
or...
places and then we do shoots. We did it at the hotel
mm-hmm.
Where they had some experiences going on. We, you know, met there and then we did some resolving, talking mm-hmm. to spirits and cleansing.
Yeah.
So things like that, but he didn't like follow me like brushing my teeth or anything.
No, not like that. Not like
wasn't,
that.
Wasn't quite like that.
No, not like that.
How do mediums do it?
Okay.
But the thing that I liked about it is, I mean, it's definitely very educational too, because it's not just, you know, here, this is what we do on investigations, and it was never. No one tried to make it scary or put in jump scares or anything like that. It was just truly like this is my truth. This is my life. This is how I've dealt with things, processed things, and how I've learned. And this is what I have learned so far. And then, you know, being able to talk to people, professionals like therapists and doctors and all these people who, you know, can also give their two cents and their ideas of what they think is happening and what they see. It's very, very interesting. It's very well done. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Same. And there are some really good, he did for the most part too. I mean, you know, the editing is really good, like with the things that he did with a map and like some cool stuff. It does keep me watching. It is sort of long. That was one of my thinkings, but people watch it in pieces sometimes. It's just the hour and 40 minutes. It's just a little longer than some or almost 2 hours longer than some documentaries.
But, yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of information in it and get great conversation starters for things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. And you know, the other really nice thing about that too is, you know, there's interviews with people in the documentary who aren't with us anymore. So, and that's also,
yes,
you know, you're able to have a nice testament to their version of what it meant to them to be psychic or their experiences and mediumship. And so
Teresa Klee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tracy, she was one that gave an interview and then, yep. And then Teresa Klee passed away after.
Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah, she was a great friend.
Yeah.
We had a lot of conversations. She had MD
mm-hmm.
and yep. muscular dystrophy.
Yep,
and
she's in a wheelchair.
Yeah, she made it to her 60s, which yeah. is rare.
Yeah.
And her twin brother is still, he's still alive. We were at the funeral. None of the friends except us could make it, so we're hoping to do another one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, or yeah. not a funeral. She hates, I just felt the jab in my side.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a funeral, it's a party.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, no. She's like, no. No,
I
no,
want
no.
music. And I want.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So. She's awesome. So in between that, I got older. There's some medical things that happened and my abilities have changed. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that's I think it's important to kind of reach out to people about. Sometimes when you think your whole purpose is one thing. And you're just like all about it. And all of a sudden something changes. Like you're a pianist and you lose your hand. Or mm-hmm. Jill would laugh and go, you said penis, but I didn't. I said pianist.
Jill?
I can hear it in my head like before she even says it now. Pianist. And or anything to do with some ability or skill, and then it's different. Or gone, what the hell do you do? I was pretty much, it, my turn to fatigue. I couldn't barely get out of my bed for, it was about a year and a half. And when I would try to connect, when I would try to do my readings, I wasn't getting the information I used to get. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes things happen in our brains, things kind of change, and sometimes the abilities have changed. So I think that kind of made me believe too, like not everybody has the same exact abilities. I mean, there's different degrees because now my degree is different.
Right.
Than it used to be like, and in the movie too, we talk about Guinea Lane, like that was the name of the farm that I got through a spirit. How could you guess something like that, for example, or the certain dates or certain thing? But now I feel the spirits, but I don't get that information enough to charge or to, you know, do formal readings, mm-hmm. but we can still do cases. I can feel them and then help them that way. Mm-hmm. It's just, now I work pretty much in a restaurant kitchen and mm-hmm. it's of course there's spirits there yeah. and everybody that I work with is into spirits.
Yeah.
So, and we're going to do a paranormal night every night. And we have a speakeasy in the back of the restaurant. You got to uh-huh. say the password, go through a phone booth.
Ooh.
And guess who's going to be there on the 21st?
We are.
It's us.
Yes. Confetti.
We are. Yes, absolutely. We are. And
yes.
when we have the information to give all of you to purchase tickets, we will be sharing all of that information with you. And you can
yes.
come
you can also
see
go
us
on
all
Facebook.
Live.
Yes. You can also go on Facebook. White Light Paranormal Insight. We'll have the link there. I'll give the link to Z and Danielle. And also you can check salud.com. I think the ticket link might be there.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, and we will be posting.
As soon as I know, I'll let you know.
Yeah, we'll be posting all that information on our pages as well.
Yes,
yeah, so that's local in mm-hmm. Near Vancouver and Camas, Washington. Really cool place. and we'll make sure you get the password or you can't get in.
I love that.
Push a wall.
That's pretty cool. I'm excited. I'm excited. So one more thing I did want to bring up before we wrap things up. It is another local thing that you and your team are involved in, and that is the ghost tours at Kenton Station.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yes, we do that. We're doing it every third Thursday, but we decided to just kind of taper back in every few months. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting these notifications. I'm hoping you're not hearing them.
No, we're not hearing anything.
Okay, good. Okay, no. Good. Okay. Anyway, ding, ding, ding. All right. So we will be posting on Kenton Station Haunted Basement when we're going to be having it. We are having one in October. Mm-hmm. Haunted stories. Mm-hmm. It's not all haunted stories or scary stories or ghost stories.
True.
However you want to say it. So people from the audience could share, and it's free. We share some stories. We show some pictures and play EVPs from down in Kenton Station, mm-hmm. which was speakeasy back in the day.
Yeah.
In
and
the Prohibition era.
Yep. And they had bare knuckle boxing down there, which at the time was illegal, which is why it was down there. And
didn't you help me with a spirit, Danielle?
Oh, yeah. The little girl.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We crossed her over one night. That was wild. We've had many experiences down there. Many. It is, for those of you that are local to the Portland, Vancouver metro area, it's a really interesting tour. It's very, very fascinating. It is very, very haunted. It is rich with history and lots of information. It's a really cool free thing to do.
Yeah.
And it's a restaurant bar on top, so you can have dinner before or after, have some drinks if you want, take the tour.
Totally reasonably priced too.
Oh, yeah. Very.
It's amazing.
Food's good. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a really fun local thing to do. And you know, it's not scary obviously by any means, but it's definitely haunted. She's haunted.
Oh yeah.
And speaking of dinner, make sure so that we're going to have two speaking engagements that night that will be, it's going to be every, okay, so I'm talking about Salud.
Yep.
The Paranormal Nights. Mm-hmm. On the 7th, we're going to have, I think it's Black River Paranormal, Jason and Mariah Hassler. Mm-hmm. Then it's going to be on the next one after that, it'll be White Light Paranormal Insight, Kristen and I. Mm-hmm. And then it will be Z and Danielle on that 21st, right?
Yep, mm-hmm. We're on the 21st.
And yeah, and it'll be at, what was it, like 7 o'clock mm-hmm. and then 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And then between, so if you come in at 7 o'clock, you could get dinner after you guys. I mean, you're going to get dinner, but I mean the people on top, the audience.
Yeah.
Come in, because we got the restaurant in front. It's Italian dining. The recipe, I think for lasagna is from his grandmother in Sicily, from Sicily. So, I mean, it's really good food. I take care of the appetizers and sides.
Nice.
So, really good appetizers, too.
Everybody
can get some. I'm loving everyone.
Yep, Italian food and paranormal stories and a speakeasy with some drinks. Yes. That's awesome.
I had a ghost detector in the kitchen, and it went off once. You can't say for sure.
Right.
This means there's a spirit, but those cat balls that light up when you touch it.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
I put it on the wall and we made it, you know, so we know what we touched would set it off. So mm-hmm. nobody was touching anything. It went off a few times and our music has turned on. And one time the owner comes in, music turned on her. No one else is in there. She goes, I do not have time for this shit right now. Turn it off. That sucker went right off.
I love when that happens, though. Yeah. It's like, not today.
Oh, okay.
Not today. Today is not the day. Oh, goodness. Yeah, well, that was like the first time I went to Kenton Station. We were all waiting to go downstairs, and all of a sudden that light turned on in the hallway, that back hallway for no reason. Mm-hmm. And we were like,
we talk about that still. Yeah.
I'm like, is it motion sensor?
And no one was there.
Yeah, there's like literally no one that could have tripped it in the hallway.
Nope.
And now we can't get the lights to work in the main staircase. Oh. It's really weird. They go on randomly sometimes.
Right.
So I don't know if they found any electrical issue. I don't know what's going on, but there's a lot of cases with weird lighting things.
Yeah.
And possible hauntings.
That building itself has a lot.
Yeah.
Because that building and that neighborhood has seen a lot since the neighborhood was built to be for the cattle industry. So the beef industry.
Yeah, Swift's meat packy plant or something like that.
Yeah, and so all the homes in that area the whole area is basically built for the employees to live. But
I've never seen a cow spirit down there. Come to think of it,
interesting. Yeah, well, I mean, no, I've just seen a lot. I've seen a lot of people.
Yeah,
a lot of people down there.
Yeah, mob guys.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Fighters, like if I stand in one area, sometimes I'll feel like punched in the stomach.
Yeah, and women.
Yeah, women. Yeah. Oh, you know what happened the other night? Oh my gosh. I felt the spirit come closer to Jill, my fiance. And I said, Jill, somebody's behind you, I think. And she goes, I feel him. And he was like coming closer. I'm like, dude, back off. This is my fiance.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't. And then this, all of a sudden, I saw in my mind's eye, the spirit, woman spirit, wisp over, get in between him and her, back him off. And she goes, oh, it feels better now.
And you know what? It's probably that same guy. He gets real aggressive because he's done that with me.
Yes, he does that often. He might be the one responsible for lifting up somebody's hair once too. Maybe,
yeah,
ponytail.
Because he did that. I remember you got him to back off one night. You told him to back off of me because he wouldn't stop.
Right.
Yeah. He's real.
Many times during a tour, especially somebody who's very open, they'll start to close their body language and stuff. You're like, oh, and then you see it. And then I'd see something by them and I ask them, they're like, yeah, I'm not comfortable right now.
Yeah. He's really aggressive. So in that bullyish kind of way.
Yep.
Yes. Is it just intimidating?
Yeah. Yeah. He's like that.
And there's several down there that still believe, I think, that they own the women.
Yep.
Like, not so much anymore, because we often remind them they can go at any time, the women, that they do not hold them in. But we've had experiences, like some mob guys, once we helped a woman cross, and all of a sudden these mob guys closed in on me, one jumped in me, and Kristen had the EMF detector and it went all the way up where it shouldn't on a body. She had it toward my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that kind of EMF in our bodies.
we don't have that kind of electricity coursing through our veins.
No. And it just all of a sudden did it when I said somebody jumped in me and I'm telling them, you're not going to move for me, nothing.
Yeah.
You're not going to talk for me. Get the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden Aurora puts her back to mine. She's another medium. She goes, emit love. So I thought of my mom. He thought of his mom. He fell right out and everything went back to normal. Well, same ways away, they were doing the spirit box and it came over, warned Seth right before that happened. Ooh. And I didn't know about that. They told me that. I said, well, why didn't anybody come warn me? And they said, well, we just thought they were just talking. You know? So that was an interesting experience. But and then the kids come from the prostitutes, you know, having the babies, and then the kids kind of helped out, you know, with dishes or cleaning or whatever they had to do. And they just kind of hung around sometimes. So,
yeah,
we believe because we do have a clear EVP of a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I don't know if it was the first time I came or the second time. But yeah, that. There was a little girl down there when I came, which, I mean, there's so many children there.
There are. There really are.
And it's surprising how many. Yeah,
there's a lot.
And I had that automatic drawing of her that I think is still on my phone.
Yes.
It just, like, started drawing her because she was just a little girl, like, skipping around and playing in the basement. Just, like, doing little twirls and...
Little girl things.
Yeah. She was just chilling. She wasn't... doing anything. She's just like, hey guys, I'm just gonna dance around. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I think some come and go too. They kind of come they must know when our tour is sometimes. So sometimes they won't show up. And I was like, where's everybody? Dead. I mean, you know, quote unquote, like there's nothing, no action.
Right.
And then sometimes there's a ton. And then one time we were sitting around and I heard a growl and I go, oh my gosh, I heard that growl. And then Kristen kept talking. She's the one that does the tour thing, you know, the talking part of it. And, the lady goes, doesn't she care? And she goes, oh, I just thought Seth heard it in his head. Like everyone heard. And she's like, yes. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Kenton Station's wild. And because that neighborhood is so, you know, historical and has seen so many things, good, bad, and ugly. There's all kinds of, like, you know, there's definitely some prohibition bootlegger mob type guys, or you know, gangster type guys. And there's definitely the women who worked in the building. And then, you know, there's, I've seen, and this was one of, you know, as somebody who is sensitive, it's nice when you get validation, you know, because it's like we all have these abilities, and it's like we know what we know in our head. We see what we see in our mind's eye or our eye. But there was one night and there was a man, and he was, and I could tell he was probably like from, you know, the mid to late 70s, maybe early 80s, African-American man wearing a white wife beater jeans, and he was bleeding from his rib cage. And I was like, he's either been shot, and I could feel it in my rib cage. And I was like, he's either been shot or he's stabbed. His name starts with an R, Ricky. And Kristen just looked at me, and she went and brought me this binder that's got all the news clippings of what she know, what can be the murders that have happened in the building. Mm-hmm. There's a binder with the news clippings, and she brought down this, handed it to me, and I showed me this article, and I was like, holy shit. Well, all right then. I know I saw what I saw. So, but yeah, it's, you know, that area in those days too, you know, not the greatest of areas. Lots of drugs, lots of sketchy things happened in that building.
I gotta tell you, not far from there is a park with this bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So like St. John's Bridge, yeah, or something like that. Yeah. And then there, we were in the park, a few of us. Kristen was there, Jill was there, some other team members. We were just kind of seeing what we would get. And all of a sudden, I came across this black guy spirit, and he was telling me, bitch, got my money. Ooh, he was pissed. He was saying, like, it was under the bed in a shoebox, and he was, see, he wanted, I don't know if he wanted us to go get it for him. And I'm just trying to tell him, and I'm talking out loud, you don't need your money anymore. You have no, there's nothing you can buy with that money. And I'm trying to explain stuff to him. And I'm looking out into the air. So, like, if you're somebody walking by, so somebody started walking
you
by.
You look insane.
You look insane. Kristen's like, look at me when you talk. I'm like, what? I'm not talking to you. And she goes, no, look at me when you're talking.
Because you look insane. Like,
the guy, I think that's totally nuts.
You're like, oh, yeah, I guess I look a little cray-cray right now, don't I?
Good point.
Well, I hope I got through to him that you don't have to worry about it anymore.
And I'm not going to get your money, so.
Yeah, who cares if he's got your money now?
It is long gone, friend. Just like you.
What year do you think it is? Good Lord. So, well, thank you so much for taking some time out today and hanging out with us and talking with us. I wish you could see us. We can see you.
Well, yeah, and you look lovely.
I know, I wish I could see you.
You look great,
but
we're going to see you on the 21st, and we are so excited.
Yes, and we will absolutely have to have you back on to talk more about
all
of this in the future.
Absolutely.
That would be fun. Yeah, yes. We have lots of stories.
Exactly.
Yeah, we could talk for 3 hours about this. So.
Yeah.
So definitely. We'll definitely ask you back and to hang out with us, and then hopefully next time you'll be able to see us. But you know, sometimes technical difficulties happen. Spirits are like, yeah, no,
like you don't need to see each other.
So again, Kenton Station, So if people want to take the tours, they go to Kenton Station's website?
Well, we don't have a website, but we have on Facebook, or you could just show up. Kenton Station, pub restaurant at 7:30 is our tour. Now that will be in October, will be the third Thursday.
Okay.
And it will be ghost stories.
Got it.
So you're not going to have so much of the tour, as you will be able to hear some stories from there and other people, possibly from around the neighborhood or whatever.
Yeah. So that'll be the night before our event in Camas. So the third Thursday is the 20th, and then the 21st.
Oh, yeah. Then the following. Yeah. So it's like two Halloween things, too.
Yeah.
Right here.
And we will be posting all of this information for all of you to come out, hang out, see us, go to Kenton Station, hear some good ghost stories, and get spoopy.
Yeah.
And if you go on the White Light page, you'll be able to find out more about the investigation that we're going to do, a private investigation at Giotti's and Salute.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
But I'm not going to put it on their mainstream one because some people aren't into that, and that's fine.
Right.
But we just want people that are into it to just kind of, you know, see what we can get.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. So absolutely, if you guys are interested, which you listen to our show, we know you are, go to White Light Paranormal Insights Facebook page, follow them there, and you can be kept informed of all the things that they're doing too.
Yeah.
Yes, so. Thank you very much for letting me be on with you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Seth. We love you. We miss you. We will see you soon. Yay, we are
I'm so excited.
So,
me too. Us too. All of us.
Yes. So until next time, y'all.
Hexes and hoes, y'all.
Hexes and hoes, y'all.
Hey, bye.
Bye.